Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for the ministry of your word. We know that your word is already forever settled in heaven. And God, we just bring the reminder today. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher and you will speak through us today. I thank you that our ears are anointed to hear. Our hearts are anointed to receive. And I believe, God, that we're going to learn something and we're going to grow and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ today. And we thank you for all of our online listeners. God, may they receive today as they open their Bibles, get ready to receive the word today. I pray, God, that you will minister to them and heal their hearts, heal their broken hearts, heal their bodies, and just minister to them in any way possible. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we know that most of us here today, how many here do not live in the state of Missouri? So everybody, one. Omaha, Nebraska? Yeah. Good guess. I think this might apply to you too. But those of us that live in Missouri, we know that it's not uncommon, especially after a cold, icy, snowy winter, it's not uncommon to discover that as you get out of your driveway and run down the highway, that there are potholes in the road. How many's noticed that? They crisscross our state. They're on every major highway, every county road, every city road. You run into potholes. And how many know sometimes these things are big enough to just about lose the front end of your car? Some of these potholes can be big. I remember one time we were in the Republic of Georgia and there was a car in front of us that was stuck. And we couldn't figure out why he wasn't moving. Well, we got out of the car and walked around to where he was at. He was stuck in a pothole. But it wasn't just one tire. It was all four tires that were stuck in a pothole and he couldn't get out. We managed to pick the car up and set it off to the side of the pothole so he could go on. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some big potholes in these natural roads that we drive around on. Can I hear an amen? How many also found out that many times these potholes catch you off guard? Even if you know there's a bunch of them on the road, you still find that you can, if there's one out there, how many knows your wife can, you can hit it. Darlene and I had been married 2 days. She decided to drive. I decided to tell her to miss the potholes. She decided to pull over at the side of the road, get out and said, drive yourself. I thought to myself, what have I gotten into? Second day of marriage, and she's already telling me. But listen, potholes can catch you off guard. There's not a sign that says, warning, potholes 1 mile down the road. You can go around a curve, you can hit that pothole, and how many knows it can cause you to go every which way. They don't come with road signs. And I'm going to tell you something, the damage, if you hit them hard enough, the damage can be great, can it? How many of you men know what I'm talking about? It can blow a tire, knock your front end out of alignment, it could break a shock. There's a lot of things, if that pothole, you hit it hard enough, that can be done with that. And they've been known, sometimes potholes have been caused, have been the reason for car wrecks. Because you see one right there in front of you, you're trying to miss it, and you forgot to look up to see there was another car coming towards you. People do that with deer all the time, you know what? They try to miss a deer and they hit a car head on. Well, the same with potholes. Potholes have been known to cause automobile accidents. But I brought that to your attention as a natural reminder to let you know that also there are spiritual potholes that catch us off guard sometimes. On our destiny, on our journey of life, many times we will hit a pothole and the throws a curve our way. It messes us up. And no matter how prayerful you are as a believer, no matter how mature and how long, if you just came from church, how many knows you can hit a pothole on the way home from church? And there are things that happen in our lives that nothing will ever prepare us for the potholes that we hit on our spiritual journey with the Lord. When David became the king, he was obsessed with bringing the presence of God back to Jerusalem. That was his ministry. That was his destiny. The Ark of the Covenant was the presence. It was symbolic of the presence. It was the presence of God. And the Philistines, if you'll remember, had stolen the Ark of the Covenant, and they had kept it at Ashdod, I believe it was, where the house of Dagon was. You remember the story, or shall I go into it? You remember? Okay, we'll go into it. And Ashdod, they kept the Ark of the Covenant there. They stole it from Israel. And what happened was they decided, well, we're going to set this Ark up in the house of our God. Well, how many knows the next morning when they came in to worship Dagon, which was half fish and half man, the half man had fallen over to the ground as if to be worshiping the Ark of the Covenant. They did it again, and the next thing you know, the man fish had fallen over again. Dagon had fallen over again, and they said, "Man, this thing's horrible. We got to get rid of this Ark of the Covenant." How many know there's a lot of churches today that want to get rid of the presence of God? Come on now, there's a lot of churches that want to escort the Holy Spirit to the back room. But I'm telling you, here's a church today that we welcome the presence. We welcome the Holy Spirit. We welcome the move of God. We welcome the gifts of the Spirit. We invite and encourage the gifts of the Spirit to flow at Solid Rock, and even when it's not popular in other ministries. But David was obsessed with getting that ark back to his city. And the Philistines said, "We got to get rid of this presence. It's destroying us." How many knows if your heart's not right, the presence of God can make a mess of things? I'll share with that. Share that with you in just a minute. But so they take the ark and they plant it over in Kiriath Jearim, and it happens to be a place where it stayed for 20 years. And it was there for 20 years, and finally David decided, "I'm going to go get that ark. We've not had the presence of God in our church for 20 years. We're going to go back and get him. We're going to go back and bring the presence of God." Would to God that there were pastors and leaders, teachers, church members that were so hungry for the presence of God, you would fast, you would pray, you would do whatever it takes to get the presence of God in your family, in your church. How many knows we need the presence of God in America? Like never before, we need a fresh anointing and a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. And I do believe it's coming. I'm not giving up on America. I'm not going to be Negative Nelly or Debbie Downer. I believe that there's a mighty move of God coming to our nation. And so we desire for the presence of God. Some of you need the presence of God in your marriage. How about in our public schools? So David's dream was, let's go and get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it back to Jerusalem. This is my destiny. I'm going to bring it back. Now, I just tell you up front that he forgot to find out God's way of how to transport the Ark. He was so hungry for the presence of God that he disobeyed the instructions of God to get the presence of God back. If you'll turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel, we'll read this here in chapter 6. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, we'll read about 15 verses, so don't go to sleep on me. Stay with me this morning. This is going to be an exciting time of learning from the word of the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Excuse me. Scripture says, verse number 1, "Then David gathered again all the elite troops in Israel, 30,000 in all. He led them to Bala of Judah," which is actually another name for Kiriath Jearim, "to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord's heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubims." "They placed the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from Abinadab's house, which was on a hill, Uzzah and Ahio. Abinadab's sons were guiding the cart that carried the Ark of God, and Ahio walked in front of the cart." Now, let me just remind you how it got to Kiriath Jearim. There was a couple of these people said, "Let's get rid of this Ark of the Covenant." And so they decided, "Let's get a cow, let's get two cows, and let's hook these two cows to a wagon, and let's let these cows had calves, but they kept the calves in the barn, and they said, let's see if the cows have enough sense to take the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, or at least across the border." And so they followed the cows. The cows did not return back to the barn where their calves were. They took the Ark of the Covenant, I believe they were led by the Spirit of God, right into into Israel. And the Philistines on the border was watching this all of the time, watching and said, sure enough, it must be the will of God to take that Ark back to Israel. And it says here in one of these verses, wherever I stopped at, "David and all the people of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, cymbals. But when they arrived at the threshing floor of Nacon, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand and steadied the ark of God. Then the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him dead because of this. So Uzzah died right there beside the ark of God. David was angry because the Lord's anger had burst out against Uzzah. He named the place Perez Uzzah, which means to burst out against Uzzah, as it is still called today. David was now afraid of the Lord, and he asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of the Lord back into my care?" David decided not to move the ark into the city of David. Instead, he took took it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. The ark of the Lord remained there in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. Then King David was told, "The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went there and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with great celebration. You'll read some other places where it said David went, got back into the word of God, got back into the scrolls to find out what was the proper way to carry the ark of God. He got the instructions right, and then he says, "Let's go and get the ark of God and return it." And it said they came back with great celebration. After the men who were carrying the ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, David sacrificed a bull and fatted calf. David danced before the Lord with all of his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy. One translation says, a joyful procession with music and dancing and the blowing of the ram's horns. It was a day of celebration because finally God was back in the city. God was back in the classroom. God was back in the church room. A lot of times we know our destiny. We know where we're supposed to go, but what we don't know is how do we get there? We know we're called to do this. We know we're gifted to do this. We know we have the talents to do this. We know where we want to go, but how do we get there, Roth? I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but how do I get there? And we've all been in those places. I want to lose 25 pounds. But how do I do it? Anybody been there? How many's been there about every week? I want to lose weight, but I don't know quite how to get there. I want to do this. I want to start this business. Excuse me, viewers. I know I want to start a business, but I don't know how to get started. I don't know how to get there. I know I want to be happily married, but dear God, I'm so confused. I don't know how to get there. I know God called me to preach, but where do I start? Where do I go? How do I get started? I know I'm supposed to be a youth leader. I know I'm supposed to be a worship leader, but how do I get there? I've been given the abilities. I've been given the talent. I've got the desire. I've got the burning on the inside, but how do I get there? If you've been there, shout amen. So David starts this great project of bringing the glory, the presence of God, back to the center of Jerusalem. And he built a new cart. He puts the Ark of the Covenant on it. He's heading down the road in the right direction toward his destination. How many feels like you might be on the right road today? You feel like you're on the right road to your destination. But sometimes there are potholes that distract us or potholes that knock us aside for a while, and we have to stop and reevaluate. You ever been driving and get lost? No, men, we don't get lost, do we? I see shaking your head. I saw that. Well, us guys never get lost. We never open a map, and we certainly never check the GPS because we always know where we're going, right? Am I right, guys? Am I right, women? Stop and ask for directions. Well, that's below me. I'm a man. I can't stop and ask for directions. And so we get on this road, and we're starting to feel a little stressful, maybe a little anxious, because where are we going the right way? I haven't seen a road sign in a while. I'm on my way to Chicago, but nothing has said Chicago. I saw Peoria. I saw all these other road signs along the way, but am I on the right road to get to Chicago? And then after a while, you'll look up and see Chicago, 100 miles. And how many knows all of a sudden, oh, the peace of God comes back in. The joy of the Lord comes. Oh, I know where I'm going. I can rest now because I'm on the right road. David's on the right road. Listen to me. He is on the right road, but he's going about it the wrong way. Amen? Bringing back the ark is the right thing to do. But there's a right way to do it. There's a right way to get into the presence of God. And when he gets to this threshing floor, the story says he hit a bump and it caused the Ark of the Covenant to toss and tumble. And Uzzah reached out his hand to keep it from sliding off. He ran into an unexpected bump, an unexpected problem on his road to destiny. And I want you to know this old boy has hit some bumpy roads before. If you haven't, you just keep living. You will. We've all hit the bumpy roads. We've all come to the place where, do I turn right? Do I turn left? Do I stop? Do I turn around and go back? Where am I supposed to be? Am I at the right church? Am I supposed to be here? Or am I supposed to be at another church? Am I pastoring the right church? I had an invitation from another organization. Should I go pastor that church or should I stay here? Listen, there are bumps out there to distract us from what God has called us to do. And I'm not talking about just preachers. I'm talking about everybody has a destiny. Everybody has a route to take. And also everybody has an enemy that tries to destroy us or to distract us from our calling. But every once in a while we get that confirmation that we needed. You know, we get that little extra encouragement that we needed. We get that sign that says Chicago is only 50 miles. Man, I can tilt my steering wheel down. I can set my seat back. I can set the cruise control on. I can turn my radio up and listen to the 50s music and relax because I know in just less than an hour I'll be in Chicago. How many's with me today? Any idea what I'm talking about today? You get there's this sense that I know I'm supposed to be at solid rock. I know God called me here. I know there's bumps in the road. I know there's fights. I know there's battles. I know there's hindrances. But I know in my knower, and you need to know in your knower, where God has put you and what you're supposed to be doing in your life. Come on, somebody shout amen. Amen. Sometimes we hit a little bump in the road, and how many knows we just keep going? You ever done that? Just hit a little bump? No, that's no big deal. But I'm going to tell you something. There's sometimes there's bumps in the road that stop and get your they get your attention, don't they? Yeah. You'll hit that bump, and all of a sudden that front wheel starts going like this, and you're holding onto the steering wheel, and you think, well, maybe it'll balance out, and you just keep on going. But how many know sometimes you might hit a pothole, you know, and you hear something snap, and we pull off to the side of the road. We get out of the car. We get out on our belly, and we look under the car. Is there any oil spots? Is there anything broken? Is there anything hanging down? There's different kinds of bumps along the way. On our journey of life. Sometimes we stop. Sometimes they just slow us down. Sometimes we got to get out and check. And we're checking under the car and people are just passing us by. Here goes that ministry. Here goes that church. Here goes, man, they're just leaving us. They're running off and leaving us. But you know what? We're going to stay right there and make sure everything's okay before we get back in the car. And they may be passing us, but how many knows delay is not denial? They may, you know, we may get slowed down, but it doesn't stop us. I want to see the hands of anybody that's ever been slowed down. And I don't mean because the red lights were flashing in your rearview mirror. You slowed down because you realized, you know what? I'm going just a little too fast on this road, and I don't want to miss God. I don't want to miss the turn. I want to do what God tells me to do. You see, David was called. He was anointed. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was just going about it the wrong way. I know I'm supposed to be at Solid Rock. I know I should be involved in ministry. And I'm still just sitting here and I'm scratching my head and I don't know what I should be doing, but I'm just sitting here. I'm just awaiting. And the Spirit of God is telling us, man, we need to rise up and exercise the gifts, the talents, the abilities that God's put on the inside of you. You serve where you're planted. You don't just come and sit. You serve where you're planted. That's where the fruit comes from. Good preaching, Pastor. Potholes can be major things. Losing your job can be a real pothole. Divorce can be a real pothole. How about rebellion among church leaders can be a real pothole? The doctor's report that says, well, it started out as a spot, but it's cancerous. How many knows that can be a real pothole? That'll get your attention real quick. It'll slow you down. The doctor can look at your heart and say, son, we've got to do some major surgery. What you're doing is not working. We need to get some major surgery. Amen? Oh, it's just a headache. Just a little headache, but it's getting more and more intense. And suddenly you go and you find out it's a brain tumor. It was just something little. It was just a little pothole, but now it's a big pothole. And it slows us down. I want to tell you something. It's easy to get distracted and get away from what God's called you to do. I'm sure this pastor here, when he went through his period of heart problems, that there was times that he was saying, Lord, am I supposed to stay at Open Heart? Lord, am I supposed to be the pastor? Am I supposed to stay here? Or what am I supposed to do? Am I going to live? Am I going to die? God, I need direction. It was a pothole. We all hit potholes. I don't care how spiritual you are, how long you've been in ministry. We all hit potholes. David's helper reached out and stabilized the ark, and the Bible says that God slew him. Say, preacher, what are you talking about this morning? I'm glad you asked. This is a pothole message for pothole people that keep hitting potholes over and over. And I want to encourage you that potholes are normal, especially in Missouri. There's going to be potholes, and we just keep moving on. It may slow us down, but it doesn't stop us. My wife has had issues with her physical body for many years. Sometimes it wasn't so bad. Sometimes it was so bad. Sometimes it was not even noticeable, and sometimes it got worse again. What do? We just keep traveling. We keep moving. We don't salvage the car and get rid of it. We keep on moving. This is a pothole message for pothole people who are going through situations. Maybe you've incurred some damage. Maybe maybe you just need to pull over to the side of the road and catch your breath. Maybe that death caught you by surprise. Maybe the loss of that loved one just knocked the breath out of you. Well, I want to tell you something. Let's catch our breath. Let's take a break. Let's take a break and understand that it's just a pothole moment. It's just a pothole moment. Everybody say, I'm a pothole person. This is a pothole message for pothole people. And I'm familiar with potholes. I'm gonna tell you something. It can be a tearful place. It can be a very hurtful place. It can be an uncomfortable place. It may last for a day. It may last for a weekend. Darlene and I were coming home from vacation a few years ago from Florida, and our car decided it wanted to take a break. Well, we weren't ready to take a break because we had to be home on Sunday morning. This was Saturday afternoon. We had to be home on Sunday morning. We had a baby dedication. We had something else going on that morning. Maybe it was Easter. No, it wasn't Easter. But anyhow, our car decided to stop. And it was like a pothole. We had to pull off the road. We sat there. We kept waiting for an officer to drive by so we could wave them down. Nobody passed us. A lot of cars passed, but they just kept on going. Finally, I raised the hood, and they kept on going. Finally, I raised the hood in the back of the car, and they still kept on going. We were in a pothole moment. Do we go home? Do we get what do we do? We're indecisive right now. And we thought, well, let's just try to start it again and see if it'll start. It started, got us to a gas station, and we got to that gas station that it just died. There was nothing else we could do about it. You remember that, Dwayne? You should, because you came and got us. We had to hitch a ride all the way back to Jacksonville, Mississippi, to the airport, 10 o'clock at night. I walked into the airport, forgot that I had my gun with me, and you know, you don't walk into airports with your gun, right, Roy? And you don't leave bullets in your carry-on luggage, okay? Remember that. And we finally rented a car. We went back to where our car was at, unloaded it, and loaded it, and lo and behold, man, we were just traveling, doing so good, and driving almost, got to Cape Girardeau, and we hit a deer and totaled the rental car. Everybody, can you say pothole? We totaled that rental car. We were at Cape. We almost made it home. You been there? Almost get home and have a blowout. Almost get home and run out of gas. Well, it was about, remember I told you we left on Saturday afternoon. By now, it was almost daylight on Sunday morning, and we're still trying to get back to Solid Rock because we've got a baby dedication. So what do? I call Old Faithful. I called Dwayne, Old Faithful Dwayne. I said, Dwayne, can you get the church van and come down and pick us up? I know it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and the sun's just now coming up, but we got to be at church at 10. And it was a long night, Dwayne. It was a long old night. But we made it. Thank God we made it. Got home, got showered, jumped back in the, what did we jump into? We jumped into, I guess, my truck. And we came on to church that Sunday morning. But listen, we've all hit potholes. We've all had to make the decision. Do I quit or do I keep going? Do I stop and inspect? Do I do an inventory of my spiritual walk with God? Do I check, am I okay on the inside? Did I leave a door open somewhere? What's going on? Is this helping anybody today? Amen. It's not a comfortable place to be in. It's a place of shaking. For 3 months, David was held up. He went back to Jerusalem for 3 months. He got into the Word and he studied. And he trying to find out, where did I miss it? What did we go wrong? We can't continue like this. And the Bible says that he found the way to get the proper way to carry the ark of the Lord. Everybody say this with me. Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Can I tell you something this morning? These potholes are just preparations for greater blessings that God's got coming your way. Amen. How many knows we got to stop being such cowards and chickens? You know, we're called into the army of God. We're called to fight. Amen. We're called to be soldiers. We're called to be warriors. Bible didn't call us wimps. We're kings and priests unto God. We got to stop being such cowards and cowering at every time something comes our way and distracts us. Amen. Good preaching. Amen. Somebody say, this is nothing but a pothole. Maybe you were walking the floor, wringing your hands, twiddling your thumbs, worrying, where's my son? My son should have been home by midnight. Where's my boy? He's not, dear God, what's wrong with my boy? And suddenly the telephone rings and your heart drops, your mouth opens, your mouth drops, and it's your son. Mama, can you come and get me? I'm at the county jail. Can you come and get me? I've messed up. That's kind of a pothole moment, isn't it? Not sure how you want to respond to that, are you? We have different levels in the house today. Thank you. How do we respond to that? You know, I got caught. Now I got to go. Mama, can you come and get me? You can't see that you lost your job because God has another one, a better one planned for you. All we can see is what we've lost. All we can see is what we're going through at this time. All we can do is see our son in jail. Instead of it being a learning lesson or a training time, all we see is now he's a convict. Come on, church. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Some people say, well, if fulfilling your will, and if I'm supposed to follow the desire of my heart and it gets me hurt, I'm not going there. Well, listen, ministry will get you hurt. Can I get a better amen? Amen. Life can hurt. There are potholes. By the way, it's not just in Missouri, but that happens to be where we're at in the state of Missouri. So there are potholes in Missouri, and there are potholes in this Christian walk. Amen? Okay, somebody help me. Here we go. I lost my place. All right. So Brother David gets this idea that, you know what, we're going to do it right this time. I heard that God is blessing the house of Obed-Edom. By the way, if you'll do a study on Obed-Edom, and especially if you'll look, do a study through the Josephus, you'll find out that Obed-Edom, when the ark left his house, guess what? Obed-Edom packed up and moved with the ark. He was going to go where the presence of God was. The presence of God was leaving. I'm not going to stay here by myself without the presence of God. Church, we need to understand that we want to learn to flow with the Spirit of God, move with the Spirit of God. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's weird. Sometimes it even makes you look foolish. But I'll tell you what, the grace of God is sufficient for us. And regardless, we're going to go with the move of God. My goodness, Brother Davis, I've seen all kinds of move of God's in the last 30, 40 years. There's different things coming down the pike, different waves coming in. And you either go with the flow or you get ran over. And there's, you know, God's always up to doing something different. I mean, those churches aren't like it was 50 years ago. Amen. So he goes to Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom says, I'm not going, I'm not letting you leave without the presence of God, without me going with you. And he moves back. By the way, do you know that Obed-Edom also becomes a keeper of the gate? He also has 60-something associate ministers under him, working with him. He continues in the city of David, working as a gatekeeper, a protector of the Ark of the Covenant. He's got all this stuff going for him because he refused to leave the presence of God. How easy do we get offended and leave the presence of God? How easy can we stay in the church and then get offended and just walk away? Somebody shout amen. Amen. We need to learn to nail some things down. Amen. Amen. Dwayne, how many times would I have left if Darlene and I hadn't nailed something down over the last few years? You want to take a guess? Well, take it times 10, whatever you say. Because there's been a lot of times. There's been a lot of times we wanted to leave. But you know what? It's uncomfortable, but it's only a pothole. Say it. It's only a pothole. Shout it out, it's only a pothole. Say this with me, I want my ministry back. I want my mission back. You see, sometimes we allow these potholes in life to distract us. 2 Samuel 6 and 12. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. 3 months ago, he was bitter. 3 months ago, he was angry at God. But he got back into the word. How many knows we all fall down, but we get back up? Amen? Amen. What's the scripture say? A righteous man falls seven times, but what does he do? He gets back up. We all fall down, but we all get back up. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Come on up, worship team. I want the worship team to come up here. We're going to get ready to change the order of the service here. Somebody say this with me. I'm a get up person. Get up. Say this with me. I'm not going to allow a pothole to keep me paralyzed.
I'm not gonna allow a pothole to keep
I'm not a quitter.
I'm either getting up
or I am up.
Or I am up.
Brother Bishop McGee always says, I'm either up or getting up. So I guess if you want to put it in a nutshell today, Brother Steve Slope, I would say, don't sweat it. Because everybody hits potholes. Have you ever driven down the road and seen somebody off the side of the road examining their car or looking to see what was wrong with it? You know, everybody hits potholes. Nobody's exempt. And there's been a lot of times that we've hit these potholes in ministry. I'm not just talking about in the natural. I'm talking about in ministry. We've all hit these potholes. But it's only a pothole on our road to our destiny. The plan of the enemy is to distract us so much that we throw in the towel, we quit what God's called us to do, and our gifts and our talents just become useless to us. I can tell you this, in all my life, and I've been living a long time, I've never seen anybody living in a pothole, Gary. I've never seen anybody camp out in a pothole. I've seen cars stuck in potholes, but I've never seen anybody living in a pothole. Might lose a tire, might mess up the front end. You might break a shock, burst a tire, but nobody spends their life in a pothole, and neither will you.
Amen.
We're coming out of this. I want you to stand to your feet with me this morning. No moving around, please. Stay with me for just a moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you've pulled off to the side of the road and you're just trying to catch your breath. I didn't know what to do the day my car died on Interstate 55 between Jackson, Mississippi and Memphis, Tennessee. I didn't know what to do. I just sat there and waited and waited, and Darlene and I prayed. We called a wrecker and he told us it was going to cost us $500 a day to store our vehicle in his lot. So we decided not to go that route. But we just prayed. And finally the car started again. I could have given up. We could have quit, huh? But we kept on going. Oh, by the way, that's not the end of that story. Richie Turnbow. Remember the story, you guys? Remember your son? He said, Brother Rhodes, I'll come down and get your car all the way down to Jackson, Mississippi. He said, I'll drive a truck and trailer and come all the way down, pick up your car and bring it back home for you. Well, Richie decided to do that, and we said, well, come on. So he came the same night we were on the side of the road. He made it to No, he didn't make it to Jackson. He made it to north of where we were at, somewhere between the Mississippi state line and where we were at there. And his car broke down. It broke down. It was the middle of the night. He had no place to go. Finally, a deputy saw him off on the side of the road and said, "Son, can I help you with something?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I'm driving my car." He said, "Well, I'll give you a ride up here to the motel." So he had to spend the night in the motel so he could get parts for his car the next day. What a mess. That's not the end of the story. Somebody else decided to go help Richie out and go pick him up. And they left church right after church on Sunday morning, took a truck and a van, and they broke down in St. Genevieve. I'm telling you what, that was the trip from hell. That was the vacation from hell, I'm telling you. Never anything go wrong, it could go wrong. Guess what? Eric, I didn't live in the pothole. We didn't camp out in the pothole. We kept moving. If you stop, you die. Can I hear an amen? Brother Davis, I firmly believe had you have stopped pushing forward and stopped believing that the enemy could have taken your life, and you'd be next to a widow today. Well, she would be a widow by herself here today. Widow? Yeah. All right. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Don't quit. Keep pressing on. We've all wanted to quit, but we don't. The Lord told Darlene and I years ago, if we don't want a flap every time the wind blows, to nail our ministry down, nail the calling down. And just like they do in Florida, every time there's a hurricane warning, we just get it. Several years ago, we got the hammer and nails out, and we just nailed this ministry down. And we said, you know what? Come hell, high water, come storms, come earthquakes, come hurricanes, whatever. We know that we're secure. We're not moving. We're not going anywhere. I wish pastors would grab a hold of that instead of changing churches every 3 years. We need to nail some things down. Amen. You need to nail some things down. Some of you have been job hopping for years. It's time to nail something down. You'll never grow. You'll never become anything by moving around all the time. Everybody say, "Oh, how I love my pastor." Okay. You might be in a repair shop for a while, and you might be stranded for a while, but we're not going anywhere, right? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I've shared this today because I feel like there's some people that really have thought about quitting. They've thought about just camping out in their potholes and feeling sorry for themselves. Father, I believe that today's the day that we're going to rise up. We're going to put it in drive, and we're going to keep moving forward. God, I believe you want to change lives today. You want to change perspective today. I believe that this service was ordained by you. And God, we're here to help lift people up out of their potholes. Just as I and those other three Georgian men picked that car up out of the pothole, God, we're here today to help people be picked up and continue in the journey of life and ministry, regardless of what comes our way. And Father, I thank you right now that you're dealing with our hearts. Decisions are being made. God, there's people here this morning that may need to make a fresh commitment to you. Maybe there's people that got discouraged along the way, and they thought, because I'm a Christian, nothing bad will ever come my way. And God, they were in the middle of a pothole and couldn't get out. Maybe there's somebody here today that's never opened their hearts to Jesus and said, "Jesus, come into my life. I want to give you my heart." There may be somebody here today that you're saved. You've been saved for a long time, but you just feel like something's missing, that you don't have that fullness that God tells us that we can have with the baptism and the Holy Spirit. Today is your day to be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill you up today. He wants those rivers to flow out of your belly. Not just a well of salvation, but rivers of living water. And God, I just ask you this morning to minister to every person that has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying today. With every head bowed and eyes closed, please honor this request for just one moment, please. If you're in the house today, or if you're watching online, and you'd say, "Pastor, I never received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never opened my heart up to Him. I've been in church. I've went to church as a child. I seem to know a lot about church, but I've just never said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I want to say yes." If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? I want to pray with you today. I want to pray with you. If that's you, just slip your hand up real quickly. Anybody? If you're here this morning, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, at one time I was really on fire for God, but I have pulled away. I've gotten lukewarm. And I just feel like I'm not where I need to be with the Lord today. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. Thank you, hon. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Yeah. I think many of us have been in that pothole before. How about if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, it was a pothole. It distracted me. But I'm on my way back up. I'm on my way back up to the top again. If that's you, raise your hand this morning. It was a pothole that knocked me off. Yes, thank you. Thank you. As they sing this song, I want to ask you if you would just come to the front and join me for just a moment. Let's just come down here as a family. Let's come down here as brothers and sisters, loved ones. And would you just join around the front and just stand up here and let's just talk to the Lord for a moment. Why don't you rising up out of your seat and walking down here is a type of getting out of that pothole. I'm walking out of that pothole and I'm walking into a newness of life. I'm walking into freshness of life. I'm walking into something different that's going to be more exciting than where I've ever been in my life. As we sing this song, come on down. Come on down, guys. Let's worship the Lord.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame.
Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Oh,
your
let the fire fall in this house today.
Today we come.